Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
You are listening to Pastor Elvis Ajiman. Pastor Elvis Ajiman is the founder of Grace Mountain Ministry and the convener of Alpha R. Follow Pastor Elvis on podcast. Podcast added for Android users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis, and podcast for Apple users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis. And now today's message. Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you. Undoubtedly, you are our Lord. Nobody can take your place. Your place is sure in our hearts. Our confessions are sure that you are our Lord. Thank you that you rose up on the third day. We do not celebrate that only on Easter. We celebrate it every day of our lives. That you rose on the third day and you will never die again, but you live forever and ever and ever and ever. Father, we give you the glory and honor. Now speak to your church, and may we never be the same. Let your word come alive and quicken our understanding, that we will know, Father, the truth that you have prepared from time eternity for this church in a time like this. I give you the glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we do pray. Amen. I have a very serious burden. God does not cast precious things before pearls. We have to understand this. God will not give precious things to people who are not prepared for it, to people who are not built for it, and to people who are not qualified for it. That is why he said, I will build my church. I will build my church. It's very important. Maturity in the kingdom is a very powerful pillar that the church has to take a very serious look at. You can't just be around in church. You need to be built up for an assignment. You know, there are three major signs to babyhood. Number one, write it down, innocence. Innocence. Number two, ignorance. Number three, annoyance or irritable. And these are the signs that a person is still a baby in Christ Jesus. These are a sign that this person is still a baby. It's when the person is in the stage of innocence. Innocence means that he has not yet understood his environment. He has not yet captured the realities of his existence. Every baby is first at the stage of innocence. He has a hand but does not know the function of the hands. He has an eyes but cannot really interpret the function of the eyes. He has mouth but cannot speak. He has legs but can't walk. They have been introduced into a world that they cannot interpret. They don't understand. They see one person breastfeeding them every time, but they don't even know what the person represents in their lives. Innocence. And God understands. And if you become born again, God allows you to go through that stage of innocence. When you hear of prayer but you don't understand, you hear of worship, you don't understand, you hear of holiness, you don't understand, and you can choose not to be holy, and God understands. That's why it's not everybody we can judge. Because in babyhood, some of you that have handled children before, when your child was still a baby, there were errors the child committed that at this stage you will beat the child, but when it was a baby you forget about it, because you understand that that baby does not have the capacity to handle his own affairs. And some of you go to the extent of employing nannies and all that to handle the child's life, the baby's life, for the baby. That is another stage in our walk with God, when God pardons your innocence. So, out of innocence, a baby can be going like that and would want to put his hands in fire because he doesn't understand that fire. It's a very interesting and loving stage in our walk with God. So much so that you can make any statement and God understands. And you literally go unpunished for every error you do. And some of us at the stage of babies, we try to create discomfort, inconvenience, maneuver our way around, and then we still have our way. And God is watching us. And we think that God loves us. He does not love what you are doing. You are only a baby to Him. And He's watching you. You're only a baby. The Bible says that in the days of ignorance, God winked at us. He just winked. But He said that at this time, He's calling all of us unto repentance. Can you imagine? That the Bible says that in the days of your ignorance, God will wink. So you go and steal, He'll just wink at you. Right after service, you go and fornicate, He will wink at you. But you see, when you get to a point, that's why people got angry. But Moses got angry and he was punished for it. Because in the eyes of God, he's not a baby. Is somebody here with me at all? In the eyes of God, he's not a baby. You are speaking to you face to face. I don't speak to babies. I don't speak to babies. People mess up with God, got out of control, messed up with God. God spared them, but it got to Moses. You know, in Job chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible speaks of how God judges some angels with folly. Other interpretation says that He judges their errors with foolishness. So there are angels who make mistakes, and God says, "You are a fool, go." But Lucifer made a mistake, He cast him to hell. Why? Because at this stage of yours, you can't make such errors. One of the most interesting stages in our walk with God is the babyhood. And God, if you don't do this for me, I will stop serving you. And then suddenly God does it. Aha! Aha! I know how to get him. You are a baby. He's treating you as a baby. So you say certain words that he just ignores. Why? Because characteristics of a baby is that they are innocent. They don't know good from bad. They are just there. They are ignorant. They just touch anything. They go for anything. And they are fine. And then there's another characteristic. They are annoying. Sometimes your baby can misbehave to a point that you don't understand. But you still can't hit the baby. You can't box the baby. You accept the annoyance. And there are many of us, listen, sometimes when we are worried as leaders, as pastors, and as church workers, and we don't understand why some people are so annoying, and then God is tolerating them. It's a baby stage. Ignorant. They feed on anything. There are some people who are so ignorant that after everything I've taught you, somebody can come today and teach you another thing and say, this is the right thing. Yes. Have you not realized that babies don't even like their home food? Babies don't like their home food. Mother tries to feed the baby won't eat it. It goes out and something on the floor, he picks it. And he starts eating it. Why? Because they are ignorant. Very innocent. They don't know anything. But you see, if you remain that stage, the dangerous part is that God cannot do anything with you. So there can be a church of 1,000 people, but if the pastor is looking for somebody to preach, he can't get more than 5. He can't get it. And the whole church is on the shoulder of one man, because most of them are babies. They dress nicely to church, but deep within, they are not vessels that God can handle and use. Very offensive. Everything they do is very bad. If you are there right now, you will get angry. There are times that I speak to some people, and sometimes I want to get angry for God. this person behaving this way? Does he understand what is at stake? Your salvation is beyond the food you eat. So how can you threaten God that if you don't give me what to eat, I'll leave you? Do you know what is at stake? No, babies don't know. Babies don't know that eternity is more important than this time. That salvation and Christianity is beyond what you eat today and what you wear today. Christianity has to do with a certain life that you will receive after you step out of this body. But babies can't interpret that. Babies don't understand it. So keep on making mistakes upon mistakes, being offensive. That is why one of the things we need most in church is patience. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Somebody can say, I won't go to the church again until they call me. Babies. Babies. I traveled for 2 weeks. Nobody looked for me, so I stopped church. Baby. When you hear that, it's very annoying. You don't look for anybody. Who should come and look for you? It looks so annoying. But the reality is that it's a baby. The truth is, it's a baby with mustache. So when you look in the physical realm, he's old, but in the spirit, when we get to the real deal of the spiritual, their babies crossing, managing. So they get offended with everything. But such people are very loud in the physical, very loud, but spiritually. The next stage is childhood stage. Those people have grown beyond babies to childhood. And one of the signs is that they are very unstable. They go where the wind moves them. Have you not realized a child from 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, they are simply not dependable. You tell them, sit here. By the time you finish saying sit here, he understands you, he understands sit here, he understands what it is, but he won't sit. He's not a baby. He understands the reality of fornication. He understands the consequences of fornication. He understands it, but he will still fornicate. Unstable. Unstable. Moving from one point to another. One point to another. They follow everything. They follow everything. Today they are reading this book. Tomorrow they are reading that. Tomorrow they are doing this. They are going that. Today this one is their spiritual father. Tomorrow another person is their spiritual father. Hey, I saw this. They are just moving everywhere. The Bible says that do not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine. As long as we live, every single day something new will come. Every single day. And one of the dangers of being a child in the spirit is that you want to clap for every new thing that comes. You want to. You are a child who wants to be a man of God. Then you meet another man of God and he starts talking cash. I own this. I have this. I have that. I have that. The next thing is, what is your secret? Then he tells you his secret. Then you meet another one. As for me, I don't work, but the money appears under my bed. Wow. What is your secret? You start practicing. So by the time you realize, you have been looking for people's secret without asking God what God's secret is for you. Those are children. So their visions can be altered at any time. I see how my son will just follow me wherever I go. I go to bedroom, he's following me. I come back from bedroom, he's following me. If I want to go out, he's following. And you realize that he himself does not have any permanent stay in the mind. He goes where I go. That's the childhood stage. Anybody can control you at any time. You can listen to this message right now. Step out and go and hear another thing. then suddenly you change your mind. The moment you hear another thing, you change your mind. Listen to me, it's not your fault. You are in a stage. We're in a stage that you have to fight to come out of that stage. Otherwise, this thing you are going through will never stop. Yeah. Today you believe that Christianity is not about money. Tomorrow you hear another thing. Ah, Christianity is all about money. Then you go and hear again. Christianity is growing into the fullness of Christ so that he can add all other things to you. Ah, it's true. Jesus is the focus. The next thing is that no. We are in the world. We have to live life. Children, tossed to and fro. The next thing about children is that they have the problem of curiosity and talking too much. Listen, most of us are deceiving ourselves. So when we are talking about matured Christian, then suddenly we calculate how many years we have been in church. How many years and the kind of experiences we've had. Ah, I'm a mature child of God. You are not. This sign shows that you are not. Children are talkative. They talk without understanding. They don't have a language of themselves. They just shout. If you are somebody who can't control your tongue, sir, you are at a stage. You don't have a language for yourself. When you are sick, you just say, I'm sick. You have not gained a language from the word of God. You are still a child. Until you begin to glean a language from God's word. It's for the matured. They're talking how? Speaking anything they want to. Malign, gossip. Talk. The moment we close from church, then they form a clique. Did you see this person? Did you hear this thing? You hear this thing? You were a child. You were a child in the spirit. Matured people don't have time for these things. I'm telling you your stage in the spirit so that you will fight to break out of it. It's a stage. Last time I told you, I simply don't have time to discuss certain things with my wife, even concerning this church and people. No. There are more deeper things to discuss. And it's not who wear that, who did that, who did this, who went here, who did that. No. Mature people know how to control their tongue. Children talk. Are curious about everything. And they don't know how to bridle their tongue and to manage their tongue. And then the last stage is the adulthood. Adulthood. You've got to know so much about it to a point that every fiber in you begin to fight to want to have grown in the Lord. Is somebody here with me? You want to grow. So you can deal with God. It's one thing God giving you his gifts, and one thing God relating with you. He said, if there is any prophet, I give them visions and dreams. But with Moses, my servant, who is faithful in all my house, he said, I speak to him as a man speaks to his friend. God wants to give his person to people. Not just his presence, but his presence. God wants to have a deal with humanity. God wants us, listen to me, in the Old Testament, God came to our level to deal with us. In the New Testament, he's calling us to his level. And you have to go through these three processes to get to that level. Like he told John, come up here. In the Old Testament, he came down. In the New Testament, we went up to meet him. That we will have a discourse and a relationship. I'm too interested in how you can be positioned in maturity. That is when God can trust you with what you are looking for. God will not put precious things in the hands of babies. You will keep crying, he won't mind you. Nobody will give a car to a child of 8 years old. gibbon. No good father will do that. We are calling God to do things that we are not matured enough to handle. Though we define ourselves to be mature, but you defining yourself does not mean you are mature. You have to put yourself on the scale of God. The Bible said, it's not him that commend himself is approved, but him that God commanded. So you can give yourself titles, but does God see you as such? One of the deceptions I don't want to go through in life is to commend myself in a way God knows nothing about. And that is what many of us are busily doing. Talking so highly of ourselves, but God has no commendation about that concerning our lives. And we have to come to that place of total maturity, so that God can commit certain important things into our hands. There are processes humanity have gone through and we are still going through. I don't know which stage you find yourself in, but humanity went through the first process of formation. You can write it down. Formation. And God took the dust of the ground and formed man. We were all formed. And then that was a dispensation. After we were formed up, then we moved to the next thing, deformation. Man was formed into an original being, into the very place that God wanted man to be. But over time, man was deformed as a result of disobedience. And we all follow suit. We all follow suit. That is why the Bible says that in sin did our mother conceive us. By one man's disobedience, death reigned. So one man was formed. Everybody else was to be formed in alignment with that man. But that man was deformed over time. And everyone that came on earth was also deformed. Everything about you was corrupted. This is not who you are. Your wisdom is deeper than this. Your blessings are greater than this. The realities of the glory of God upon your life is higher than what you are experiencing right now. Whatever you are going through right now, it should be higher than that. But you went through a process of deformation. Man could name everything, tap into the mind of God, and name everything that God created. That was the level that we have to get to. But over time, man that was planned that he will live forever started falling sick. Was overcome by diseases. Then the years of man were now determined from 960. Then it came down to 120, came down to 70, and then down to 33. And in our age, now down to 10 years. We still have 10 year olds dying. Deformity. And then God helped us. Let me show you a scripture. Jeremiah 2:21. Let me show you a scripture there. Can you read it? Want to go? Yes. Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a rice seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Please read it again. Read it again. Read it again. This is the whole story of humanity. Shout this one more time. Want to go? Yes, I have planted thee what? A noble vine, holy a rice seed. In other words, I formed you well. I planted a whole seed. It is a rice seed. You were made to flourish. You were made to be blessed. You were made to have dominion. You were made not to have weaknesses. You were made to be strong. I planted a rice seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine? What happened to you? I planted an obedient seed. I planted a precious seed. When Jesus was going, he said of a parable of how a good man planted a good seed and then somebody else came to plant tares. God knows the kind of seed he planted. You are not God's original plant. He's sure of what he planted. It was a perfect seed. God is sure. But the deformation happened. But thank God there's a solution to the deformation. Am I here with the church at all? Thank God. He said, I'm sure of the seed I planted. It's a seed of righteousness. It's a seed of purity. It's a seed of prosperity. It's a seed that shouldn't beg. It's a seed that shouldn't kowtow to the oppressions of hell. It's a seed I planted in my likeness and in my image. But something has happened to it. A degeneration. A deformation has happened. And then the moment deformation happened, then God brought another system called the reformation. Regeneration. God brought it. Read the scriptures for me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible seeds, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition. Somebody say, I was not redeemed with corruptible things. Are you convicted about it? Say, I was not redeemed with corruptible things, but with incorruptible. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Somebody say, I'm bought with the blood. This is where reformation begins. You were deformed. And out of your deformity, he came out to redeem you. And the Bible says that what he redeemed you with, it's not money, it's not silver, it's not gold, it is the blood of Christ Jesus. I'm confident about it. You don't need money to be reformed. You don't need a good background to be reformed. I don't care whichever deformation you are going through right now. Many of you have been deformed to a level of masturbation, of addictions, of drinking, of smoking, all kinds of things. You have been deformed to a level. But hear me, there is a system for our reformation. It doesn't come with an amount. It's not in dollars, it's not in pounds, it's not in cities. It's in the blood that has been shed for you freely. Somebody said, I'm reformed by the blood of Jesus. Somebody shout it again. I'm reformed by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20. Who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21. I would want you to read this loud and clear. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Hallelujah. Verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23. This is the secret of your reformation. One to go. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Somebody say, I'm born again. Somebody say, I'm born again. By what? The incorruptible seed of the word of God. And what is that word of God? The blood that was shed for your remission and your reformation. I believe it. I believe it. Deep within, I believe it. I was formed, I was deformed, but by the word of his sacrificial blood, I have been reformed. Somebody shout it. It's true. It's yes. Somebody shout it's true. It's true. It's true. I have been reformed. I've been reformed. I have been reformed. I'm born again. If a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. My deformation is past. I'm teaching you the place of maturity. You need this to experience it. If you don't accept the place of your reformation, it can't happen for you. As in reality, it can't. Somebody shout again, I'm reformed. It is by this revelation you start confronting your weaknesses and your deformities. You start confronting them. You don't confront them by strength, you confront them by revelation. I'm too reformed to go back to my old ways. Boy, there's somebody here with me at all. I'm too reformed to be counted among the victims of my family background and their curses. I'm too reformed for that. I'm too reformed to be controlled by a witch. I'm too reformed. In my deformity, spirits were controlling my life. But in my reformity, I control spirits. Is somebody here with me at all? I am too reformed to be in the captivity of hell. Too reformed for that. This is the process of our maturity. You can't go to the place of maturity without this understanding. You can't. The Bible speaks of the regeneration of the water of the word. It speaks of the regeneration of the water of the word and the renewing of the spirit. You need to understand this. There is a whole regeneration that happened to you. I so much believe that if a man gets born again, even your kidneys and your liver and your heart becomes born again. I believe it. I believe in my reformation. I am the eighth creation of God. I'm the eighth day creation. On the sixth day he rested. After the sixth day he formed man that was deformed. Then on the seventh day he rested. And then he rested for many years and came back. And on the cross, two things came out, blood and water from his wrist, and formed a people called the church. We are the reformed of his creation. You need to understand. Somebody say, I am not what I used to be. Come on. Do you believe that? Yeah. I am not. Don't allow anybody to address you by your past. You are not. In the past, you used to be weak mentally, but now you are reformed. Yes, it is your spirit that got born again. But by that revelation, even your flesh can also benefit. I'm reformed. Then after reformation, then he takes you to the next step called transformation. Transformation. Matoske kredis skadivo fretinash. You can be reformed and yet not transformed. Reformation is in the babyhood stage. You were born again and born again as a baby. But it is transformation that shifts you from babyhood to childhood, then to adulthood. Transformation. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So every single day you work on that mind of yours, you keep working until your realities begins to conform to that reformation that has happened to your spirit. It is in transformation we see that even your flesh becomes a partaker of what your spirit has received. Your business becomes a partaker. Your lifestyle becomes a partaker. Your family becomes a partaker because you are being transformed by the realities of your spirit. Titus chapter 3. Verse 3 to 8. Somebody said, I'm transformed. For we ourselves also were sometimes. Somebody shouted well. For we ourselves. Come on, let's repeat that part. No, don't bring the foolish. Bring just the first part. For we ourselves also were. For we ourselves also were. For the last time, for we ourselves also were. For we ourselves also were sometimes. That means he's talking about his past, but now. That's where transformation begins. When you can separate your past from your now, aquí se frenidas. When you can acknowledge what you used to be from what you are now, this is where transformation is. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, that means no more, serving diverse lusts, but no more, and pleasures, but no more, living in malice, but now no more, living in envy, but now no more, hateful, but now no more, and hating one another, but now no more. We ourselves were. So when we talk of disobedience, yes, I've played a role there, but not now. When we talk of envy, yes, I used to be, but not now. When you can separate your present realities from your past. If you are still confused about your past and there is no separation, you have not started the transformation journey. It is when you can know your present realities of what God has done and is doing in your life. Transformation. Verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. After that, so we know the separation. We know when our reformation began. We know when our reformation began. And now we have seen a transformation. When God appeared, when the Savior appeared, we now know. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to the mercy he saved us, by the washing of what? Oh, come on. By the washing of what? For the last time, by the washing of what? That means regeneration comes with washing. But hear me now. Anytime you declare that I'm born again, the reality of being born again, the reality of being regenerated, the reality of your rebirth is that it came with a washing. So anybody that claims that I'm born again, then he has been washed from everything he used to be. The washing of regeneration. My God. So Apostle Paul will say, I used to be disobedient, but now I'm not. Because I know the reality of the washing of regeneration. I know it. If you don't accept this, you'll still be in church and mess up. If you don't know this, I know it. It's at the center of my heart. Washing of regeneration. Boy. So when we tell you that when you are born again, you are going to heaven. Listen, you don't need to tell me. You don't need to tell me that I should still preach that you can be in church and go to hell. No, there is a washing with people's regeneration. They must know. My job is not to tell you that you are going to hell. My job is to let you understand what comes, the package that comes with your regeneration. There's a washing in it. This is why the prophets of old, the Bible said they looked into it. They looked into our salvation. And the Bible says that God gave them that it was not for them, but for those who should come. And the Bible says that with salvation, the Holy Spirit has been sent down and angels are looking up into it. We don't understand it. There is a washing that happens when you become born again. We must see. There must be a seeing of that washing. Unfortunately, we sing with it, but we don't want to accept it. All kinds of songs that suggest that I am no more what I used to be, but you are still there. Because you can sing, but if your heart does not accept it, you will see it. There's a regeneration. I can't be a born again child of God still struggling with things I used to struggle when I was in the world. Listen, it's true, you can be, because you don't have understanding, so you can be. But after the light has come, you should sit back and tell yourself, where is my washing?
Where have I been washed from? Where did I start the journey of my life? And where have I been washed from? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Then he didn't finish there. He said, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Renewing. The renewing of the Holy Ghost. So your regeneration washes you. And the Holy Spirit has the part to come and renew you. These are blessings you have in your salvation package. You have it. Heaven is not the only blessing of salvation. Heaven is not the only blessing of salvation. Heaven is not the only blessing of salvation. Great Mountain, hear me. Heaven is not the only blessing of salvation. The world must have a benefit of your salvation. Ghana must have it. Because you were saved, bribery must stop. Before you enter heaven, God will ask you, how did the earth benefit from the salvation I gave you? God will ask you. That is why there will be a judgment seat. And everybody will be rewarded according to his works, not in heaven, but on earth. Don't disappoint God with the salvation he has given you. Don't disappoint God. Anybody who does not understand Isaiah 59 have not begun the Christian journey. You've got to understand why Jesus came to die. You've got to understand. And if you understand Isaiah 59, you understand why Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 says, arise and shine. The arise and shine, it's not just the way we use it to be. I will arise in life. I will arise in life. There is a meaning for the arise and shine. Go back to Isaiah 59. And you know the reason why Jesus, the Bible writes down, that arise and shine, for your light has come. Because there is darkness on the land. And people must benefit from your salvation experience. He says that it comes with the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So you are not just washed when you become born again. You are given the Holy Spirit to consciously renew everything that you used to represent, that made you a deformed human being. The Holy Spirit begins to bring renewal to those things that made you so deformed. In salvation, we don't defend our weakness. Don't defend your weakness. Go by the system that God has placed. And that system is a system of transformation that should work through your rebirth and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He begins to renew. The Bible calls it the renewal of the Spirit. No wonder the Bible says that be not conformed to this world where you came from, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Subjecting yourself to the ministry of the Holy Spirit so that the way you see things becomes different. At first, you used to think that tit for tat is a good thing until you become born again. Then the Holy Spirit begins to renew your mind and then begins to tell you that it's not everything we respond to. Some things are best attended to with patience and with love and with understanding. The Holy Spirit begins to tell you. Why are there many churches on earth? Yet the world keeps on getting deformed over time. You see why? Because Christians are only decorated. We are only decorated. We decorate people to showcase them. Like on 6th March, the way students are decorated to come and march before the president. Most of the students can't even speak good English. But on 6th March, they are decorated nicely to come and march. Most of these students don't have what it takes to learn. They don't know how to even operate on PC. They don't know anything. They have not been educated, but they have been decorated to show and impress. That's what is happening to us today. We are decorating our churches, people. So you see a man of God coming, and several protocols ahead of the man of God. Decorated people who can quote five scriptures. Decorated people who don't understand sanctification. They don't understand righteousness. They don't understand anything about the kingdom. They don't understand anything. A guest pastor is coming. We make t-shirts of the guest pastor, put it on people who don't understand the mystery of honor. They have just been decorated to meet the man of God. But in reality, they don't even understand the mystery behind what they are doing. Decorated people. And we are walking about so many churches, but marriages are failing. So many churches, but our employers are being stolen by the very employees that goes to church every Sunday morning. So many decorated people, yet no impact on the society, because we don't even understand. So long as we can have something nice to show people and impress them, we are fine. I'm burdened. Most of the people that we call church workers, head of departments, administrators of church, most of the people that are handling God's work don't know Him. Jesus says, unto you has been given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. That means this kingdom operates by mysteries. People are in church, they don't understand the mysteries of the kingdom. They have not been given the mysteries of the kingdom, yet they are serving God. The Bible said, and Samuel ministered to the Lord. Jesus. 1 Samuel 3. Samuel ministered to the Lord. By verse 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, but Samuel did not know God. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I am not the one. Now Samuel did not yet know God, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. But verse 1 and verse 2 says that Samuel ministered to the Lord. That's our condition now. Many people ministering to God, yet they don't know Him. That's why the Bible says that for the foundation of the Lord is sure. For the Lord knows those that are His. Everybody say they know Him, but He knows those who know Him. He knows. Boy. Beautiful singers, but they don't even have a worship life themselves. The only time they sing is when they stand on this pulpit. This morning they just woke up, wore something and rushed here and came to sing to us. And this has been the lifestyle for many years. Decorated well so we can take picture of them. Powerful. Then we take it out and say, this is a church of excellence. Don't know Him, don't have any business with Him, and have not subjected themselves to God's system to transform. To transform. There are people who should come like this and say, Pastor, I have brought myself. Demote me from my position so that I can sit down again and hear the word of God until I'm transformed. Volunteer yourself. Volunteer yourself. Pastor, I've been serving a God I don't know. Help me. There is a way that service can distract your growth and fellowship with God. Service. That is why between Martha and Mary, Jesus chose Mary. Martha, you are worrying yourself for nothing. Leave the servant, come and sit down and hear word. Every single time people ignore the word of God and fellowship, over time they are the only ones that deviate. Yeah. I used to have, I have a son of mine who is too busy with church work. Every single time I'm preaching, he's not here. He's either going to buy something or it's an errand. Then I realized that over time, only him started making consistent errors. Because the time that he has to sit down and understand God's system of transformation, he's always busy. Always busy. And anybody that falls into the trap of the devil in not receiving God's word and walking in it, over time, you'll be busy working for a God who will ask you, now, what have you been doing? Say, I used to prophesy. He said, I don't know you. I used to cast out devils. He said, I don't know you. I don't. I used to be part of the ushers in Grace Mountain. He said, I don't know you. Sometimes your service to God can be an enemy to your worship to God. It can be. Many of us are not getting transformed. Don't have a personal Bible study life. Some of you, most of the sermon that comes weekly, it has been accumulated on your phone. You don't listen to them. You don't. You have been in this church, have not bothered to buy any book to study for yourself. There is no future with God for an untransformed soul. You have a future with God only in heaven, that one day he will manage you so you die and go to heaven, until you are transformed by the knowledge of God's word. You don't have a future to manage with God. I'm yet to see anybody operating a God-ordained ministry on earth, operating a God-ordained ministry that is blossoming, that person's focus is not on the word of God. I'm yet to see one. Some time ago, somebody, I think one of the pastors that came for the minister's conference, was telling me that, are you aware of something? I thought it was something new. And I said, what is it? He said, are you aware that we've been following your sermons for over 3 years on the internet? None of us really knew that you operate in such power and the miracles until this year. I said, yes. Because God is more interested in people building up by the word than people running after miracles. That's what happened to the church of Ephesus. Paul was with them for 3 years. After 3 years, teaching them the word of God. After 3 years, the Bible says that miracles broke out. That even handkerchief began working out miracles. I said, I'm aware. God made me spread his word first. When people accept it, miracles will follow. We need to understand God's word. Have time for it. Until you are being renewed by the ministry of the Spirit. Then the final stage is not transformation. Transformation is to be taken from God causing you to unlearn, relearn. God causes you, drain some things out of you, put something into you, drain some things, put some things. That is transformation. God shifting you from one level to another. How many of us are ready for transformation? I realize that it's one of the most important sessions right now that Grace Mountain needs. Right now, as a church. A church that has records of people breaking out of addictions. Listen, the Bible says if a spirit goes, you go and find 7 more and come. So the fact that you broke out of addiction doesn't mean that you will be free forever. There must be a need of refilling. There must be a need of building. That is where we find ourselves now. how many of us will be transformed quickly to help others also transform. The Bible says, when at the time that we ought to be teachers, we are still looking for who will feed us. Because transformation is lacking. From today, may God raise teachers in our time. I said, may God raise teachers in our time. Some of you will begin to have deep understanding into who God is. It will amaze you. It will not be about you. Your transformation must come quickly so that you will help others. I can't wait to see that I will come to this church and somebody is having five people with him. I will ask, what are you doing? He said, we are sharing the word of God. I can't wait. I can't wait that we will have people calling others, not to propose to them, but to be seeking to understand the message that was preached on Sunday. Can we discuss it? Can we? Did you write all the notes? Can we get the audios? Can we do this? Can we do this? I want us to get to that place. Otherwise, listen, we are too dirty, too corrupt, too defiled, too ungodly, too unchristian. Because we are not pursuing the word. Then finally is conformation. Conformation. You are transformed to conform. You are being transformed to conform. Transformation without direction is dangerous. There are many of us on learning to become who? To transform to what? And many of us, the final place of our transformation is to look like our pastor. So you enter a church, everybody cut their hair like a pastor. Everybody dresses like a pastor. Everybody speaks the way the pastor speaks. And then they say, this church, we are one. We are one. Yes. As the pastor is, so are we. What you are transforming to conform to is the final destination. What is our place of confirmation? Where is it? That place is called Jesus. That place. Sometimes we defend all kinds of things with the statement of Paul, imitate me. But it didn't end there. Imitate me as I. Can I have both of you? Listen. Separate like that. So you are the church. He is Christ. But probably you were a baby. So you have not been given the mysteries of the kingdom to understand him. But I am matured. So I understand whatever he represents. Because sometimes Jesus will not speak, yet he is speaking. You may not hear any audible voice from Jesus, yet he is speaking. There are times that he will show up as a person. There are times that you show up as a wind. There are times that you show up as fire. A baby can't interpret it. But the matured can discern. So what happens is that, as complex as Jesus is, then this is what we are going to do. I am going to follow him. Because I have the privilege of maturity. I can discern him. So I'm going to follow him. So as I'm following, So have you seen, Jesus used to be here, now I'm here. Now I've shifted from where I used to be, but you can take that place. At the end of the day, you have not taken my place, you have taken Jesus' place. Because that is where he used to stand. That's where he used to be. I am only following him, and you are following me. Because I'm a man, you can easily discern me, but he's a spirit. Not all can discern him. So the best thing you do is that you follow somebody you can discern. But that person, you don't follow the person because you can discern the person. You follow the person because the person can discern Jesus. Then you follow. Is somebody here with me at all? So you don't just follow a man because it's the culture of the church. So you are following. No. You follow because sometimes you can't interpret Jesus well. But a man can interpret him. The man wakes up with an understanding from heaven. The end of it is that this person knows the road to Christ. So I'm following. Is somebody here with me at all? So you just don't follow because the person is your pastor. You follow because there is someone you want to meet. But the pastor is going a direction that can easily help you meet that one. So you are following. Listen, let me read one last verse to you, then we close. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and what? Teachers. Verse 12. For the what? Come on, for the what? Is perfection different from maturity? That means that when you come into Christ as a saint, you are not perfect. A man that has been chosen for you must do that work. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of what? Ministry. So you must get to a point God can use you. If you have not gotten to that point, I'm useless as a pastor in your life. And God will not use babies. God will use perfected people. For the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. For, listen, if I wish I would have just taken microphone, tomorrow by this time you will be blessed. And some of you will bring testimonies. You say the pastor is powerful. But the pastor is powerful. The pastor is powerful. So you will remain a baby for life. That God cannot do anything powerful with your life. He said you must reach the point for the work of ministry so that your life begins to edify the body of Christ. At the end of the day, when you are picked up in the church, you should be living a life that can edify the church. What is it about you that make another person encouraged? Which soul have you won? Which soul have you built? Which soul have you matured? That's the agenda of the church, the pastor. That you will be a point of edification to the body of Christ. Verse 13. One to go. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. My God. Listen. Till we all come to what? Oh, please, Grace Mountain. Till we all come to what? Do you see there? That means the faith there is a definite thing. So not all kinds of faith. There is a particular faith that all of us must be in union of. So we all come. So you have been given pastor, apostle, prophet, and all that. Not so that you end up believing in the man, but you believe. I'm still speaking of conformity. I know it's in the word that believe your prophet and you will prosper. I know. But the New Testament agenda is not to believe in the prophet. It's to believe in the one the prophet preaches. I'm not afraid to put myself aside. I have never been afraid. And I will never be afraid. If you don't honor me again, I don't care. If you don't believe me again, I don't care. But the day I get you to believe Jesus and make him your all in all, I'm done. My job is finished. My job is done. So we all, together with the pastor and the members, we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We all come to that place. That is where we begin to see perfection. Unto a perfect man. You are not perfect until Jesus is your all in all. Unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Conformity. Don't live here and want to live your life anyhow. You have one agenda: to be like Jesus. Somebody asks you, what is your dream? My dream is to be a bank manager. Who is your teacher? Some of us, you go out there and you disgrace us before spirits. What is your vision? I want to be a mechanic. Is that it? Is that what the Bible calls perfection? It says that we come to the measure of the stature. We come to the fullness. Somebody say, from today, my agenda is a perfect man. So I come to the fullness of Christ Jesus. Say, from today, my agenda is to come to the fullness of Christ Jesus. The Bible says you have been predestined to conform to this image of the Son of God. That means you have a destiny. That destiny is not to be a carpenter. That destiny is to conform. So you are Jesus Christ practicing carpentry. That does not make your destiny a carpenter. Your destiny, you have been predestined. The word is predestined. Don't change Bible. Why are we changing scriptures? Just recite ourselves. Your word is to predestine. Predestine. You are predestined. You have this destiny before coming. Hear my voice, people of God. Don't hear lies and falsehood. And things that just excite your life and make you happy. Every destiny summit must end up like you becoming Christ. That you may reach the fullness, conformity, the fullness of Christ. And how would that happen? Oh, let me read it. That's my last verse. Let me read it and quickly. Verse 14. 14. Can we read it? One to go. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie. Somebody said, from today I will not be tossed around. I know what I want to become. I will not be tossed around. Say, I know what I want to become. I want to become a rich Christ. I want to become a teaching Christ. I want to become a doctor Christ. Come on. Give us the TLB, the Living Bible. Give us the Living Bible. And he said, how is it going to happen? By speaking the truth, may grow up into him in all things. The more we speak the truth, the more we grow up. The more we speak the truth, the more we grow up. You will never grow until you find somebody who will tell you the truth. You will never grow. But speaking the truth, instead, one to go. Instead, we will lovingly follow the truth at all times. Speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and so become more and more. Don't comfort yourself with lies. You must deal truly, live truly, speak truly. Therefore, by that, you become more and more in every way like Christ Jesus. Verse 16. The whole body is fitted together perfectly, and each part in its own special way helps the other parts. So that he's talking about Grace Mountain. He said, under the direction of Christ, the whole body is fitted together perfectly, and every part in its own special way helps the other parts. That means if you are not growing, you are not helping me. It's when we are both growing that we help each other so that the whole body grows healthily. Oh, Grace Mountain, we will grow well. I said we will grow well. Let's read this verse 17 quickly. Go ahead. Want to go? Let's be servants then, speaking for the Lord. Live no longer as the unsaved do, for they are what? Their closed hearts are full of what? Darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have set their minds against and they cannot understand His ways. You cannot be a Christian and you are far away from God. And He's telling you, if you continue pursuing the wrong thing, you will not be different from the unsaved. Continue. Want to go? They don't care anymore about right and wrong and have given themselves over to impure ways. They stop at nothing. My God. Verse 20. Oh, shout this loud and clear. Christ has a way. Verse 21. If you have really heard His voice and learned from Him, that means if Jesus was your teacher and if Jesus was your pastor, you wouldn't be doing the things you do. Then throw off. Come on, say, I'm throwing off. Shout it loud and clear. Let's read it. One to go. Then throw off your old evil nature. The old you that was a partner in your evil ways, rotting through and through, full of lust. Someone said, I've thrown it off. Verse 23. Now your attitudes and thoughts must all be constantly changing for the what? Your attitudes and your thoughts. Transformation. It must be changing for the better. Want to go? Yes. You must be a new and different person. Holy and good. Clothe yourself with His new. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. For we are part of each other. And when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. If you are dancing, have you seen your transformation is being played out to you? He said, don't nurse your grudges. Don't nurse it. For when you are angry, want to go? If anyone is stealing, he must stop it and begin using his hands for her honest work. So have you seen the reason why a Christian must be working? It's not because of you, it's because of others. Want to go? Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to. Verse 29. Don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to. And what will give them? That means every statement in your life can be a curse or a blessing. King James says that it may impart grace. So a spirit goes behind every word you say. And now he's narrating those who must look like Jesus. And he has talked online. He began by saying that if Jesus has been your teacher, you will not be doing the things you do. That means all pastors that keep on massaging the truth, Jesus sits down and says, is this the one I give my church? Apostle Paul said, if Jesus is your preacher and you heard his voice teach, you wouldn't be doing these things I'm telling you. 30. By the way you live, remember he is the one who marks you to be present on that day when salvation from sin will be complete. He said that don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't cause the Holy Spirit to be sorrowed by the way you live. Remember, he will be the one to mark you present. So on the final day, on rapture, if the Holy Spirit does not approve on you, you are going to hell. He says that don't put him to sorrow by the way you live. Don't make the Holy Spirit sorrow, because he will be the one to mark you present. That means anybody that will have access to the Father on the day of rapture, the Holy Spirit must approve that here on earth you were right. Okay, let's continue. Bad tempered and angry, quarrel, harsh words, and dislike of others should have no place in your heart. Remember, he will be the one to mark you. These are things that makes him sorrowful. Go back for me, go back. 31. These are things that makes him sorrowful. Stop being mean. Bad temper, angry, quarreling, harsh words, dislike of others should not have a place. What kind of be keke? One day they want to mark you present. Hey, have you forgotten in primary school when we are marking? Register. The most powerful guy was the one that holds the register, marking who is present and who is absent. The Holy Spirit on that day will be the marker. He said that don't grieve him. And these are the things that grieve him. Stop being mean, bad temper, anger, quarreling, harsh words, dislike of others. What is it then? There's some people who just dislike people just like that. They don't have anything to do with you. They just hate you. Such a devilish character. Right now, the most dangerous part is that those who publicly announce their love for you are mostly the ones that hate you. Never get it twisted. The more I mature in God, the more I understand certain things. There are some people who just went to kiss Jesus publicly. But in reality, that public announcement of love was a message to Jesus' enemies that this is the one, come and kill him. Right now, most people that announce you publicly, I love you, they are doing that to have a place around you so they can kill you. Verse 32, want to go? Each other, tender hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Christ. Chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example in everything you do, just as much love child imitates his father. Conformity. This is where I end my message. Conformity. Follow God as a child is following his father. I told you how my son follows me everywhere. He said, follow God like that. Be full of love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was released for Christ's love. He said, follow Christ as an example. That's the end of the message. Follow Christ as an example, so that on the last day you can say that as he is, so am I. An imitation of Christ. You run the race of transformation until you are conformed. Two things happen in transformation. Things leave you, then things must come. So as your old nature leaves you, it is not a new nature that is about you comes, but a new nature that is conformed to Christ's nature now must come in. And when you are full of it, then you reach the place of maturity. It is in conformity we command dominion like Jesus. It is in conformity. Transformation does not necessarily give you a certain level of dominion. It is in conformity. That God can entrust you with riches because he knows you think the way he thinks. You see the way he sees. You are the way he is. As he is, so are we. And it is here in love. It's perfected. This is who we are. Conforming to Christ. So that sicknesses cannot have a place. So that failure cannot have a place. So that poverty cannot have a place. So that setbacks cannot have a place. So that demons shall be at our footstool. That is the agenda of heaven. Conforming into the fullness of Jesus Christ. A time is coming out of this church. People will step out and witches will be running. They will be running. Because it's not you coming. It's Jesus that is coming. Yeah. A time is coming that money will chase you. Because it's not chasing you. It's chasing its owner that has taken a deep seat over your destiny. That's Jesus. Everything, that's what the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. That seek first the kingdom begins with formation, deformation, reformation, transformation, and conformation. That seek inside of it is these processes. When you reach the place of conformation, you will see things are added. Many of us begin to ask for things to be added in the place of reformation. And Jesus is saying there's more to go. Then we ask for addition in the place of transformation. Jesus says there's more to go. But when you get to the place of conformation, Jesus said you don't need to ask. They will be coming. God richly bless you. You are stepping into a new week where it will be drawn on you that indeed you have been conformed to the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Ajuman Elvis. For inquiries, send us a mail on pastorelvis@gracemountainministry.org. For questions relating to relationships and marriage, send us a mail on loveclinic@elvisajuman.org. You can also send your testimonies via testimonies@elvisajuman.org. For offerings, visit www.payalphar.org. For more information, make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. Remember, faith cometh from hearing and hearing the word of God. Stay blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.